Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, be with us, guide us, and direct us while you show us which way that we can go and be faithful to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I have in mind to talk to you about some amazing spiritual subjects, plus some practical subjects as well. So, when you hear today's broadcast, I'd like you to think of the things that are going on in Israel, like Ron Wyeth. He's been over there, and about 20 years ago, what he said was so amazing. He's a man of God, a Christian man. He has a deep respect for the holiness of God. And as he searched and researched in Israel and was led by God, and also in other countries, he was trying to discover the truth of God's history and bring it to the attention of the world. And he found the Ark of the Covenant, and more than that, too. At Golgotha in Jerusalem, the Israeli government was well aware of this, but they apparently did not want a full disclosure of certain discoveries, because to acknowledge Jesus in a certain way would cause the Jews to reevaluate their Jewish religion. And that would cause a certain social instability in Israel. So, at that underground cavern at Golgotha, Ron Wyeth found the Ark of the Covenant and the Table of Showbread and the Golden Altar of Incense and the Mercy Seat, along with the Tablets of Stone. The Mercy Seat is estimated to weigh 900 pounds, and it's made of gold. Ron Wyeth said these items were to be presented when the Mark of the Beast laws were passed. And now, in those days to come, how would we be protected? He said it was by keeping the laws of God, that is, God's Ten Commandments, and then that God would seal you. Remember that God said, "My covenants I will not break." And so when we look at his covenants, we can see how this carries through to this very day. It's a remarkable journey we are on. Remarkable, I say. And really, it exceeds remarkable. The next part, really. Well, from that into that cavern, from about 20 feet above the cavern, is where Jesus was crucified on the cross. His crucifixion, his sacrifice, which we know personally and individually, has cleansed our life and cleansed us of our sins as we accept God's free gift of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. And then we change our ways as we repent of our ways. So back to this cavern. 20 feet below where Jesus was crucified is where this cavern was. 2,000 years ago, when that Roman soldier pierced the side of Jesus, Blood flowed, and it went down a crack in the rock and landed right on the Ark of the Covenant. It atoned for our sin, and when we accept God's free gift of forgiveness and salvation and then repent, we are in God's kingdom. So that's the remarkable part of the story. And yet there's another remarkable part. And Ron Wyeth took a small amount of this dried blood to a testing laboratory in Israel. He instructed them to warm the blood to the normal human temperature for 48 hours before they tested it. The lab found activity in the blood. It was living blood. So the lab said that was impossible, and yet it was so. Then there was more testing and another impossibility. The testing showed that there was a non-human father and a human mother. The human mother supplied all of the physical characteristics, and the non-human and the human makeup was shown by the chromosomes in the blood. And since there were not the normal number of chromosomes, 46, it was impossible, but there it was. This blood had only 23 chromosomes plus one, which was the male chromosome. It was all impossible, but there it was. You can look up the story. Look up Ron Wyeth, W-Y-E-T-H, and that was in about 2002. So do you believe in miracles? Do you believe that the impossible can be made possible by God? Well, it's something each one of us has to examine for ourselves. Our own salvation is also a personal choice. Look into the good book, and it says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Be sure of your understanding. Your future eternity, in hell or in heaven, is determined by this. So let me go back. Ron Wyeth, he said the items in the cavern were going to be presented when the mark of the beast laws were passed. There are a number of Christians who say that this time is close. They say it today. Time is close. And the time only gets closer and closer as it passes. So many people, so many Christian people, feel like this is the season. The Bible says, "The day and the hour no man knows." The Bible also tells us to be ready. You get the idea, but along these lines there is another very significant discovery in Jerusalem, and it's regarding the Third Temple. Or should I say the discovery of the first two temples where they were built. And it will be at the same location where the third Jewish temple will be built. For years it was assumed that the Islamic Dome of the Rock Shrine was the site where the first two temples were built. And so, of course, by that reasoning, the third temple would also have to be built there. It was assumed that the Dome of the Rock, Islamic shrine, would have to be torn down. But guess what? The site of the first two Jewish temples has been discovered to be in the small area known as the City of David. The City of David is located about 1,000 feet south of the site of the Dome of the Rock, Islamic shrine. This is big news because it means that the third Jewish temple can actually be built without any delay. It can be built right now. The Temple Society of Israel has every single item which is needed to supply the temple with the implements that it needs. So it can completely function. The only thing is it's not built. I've been unable to verify this part, but there are people who say that the building materials are already set aside and ready to quickly build that third temple. Anyway, the third temple can very quickly be built and supplied, and after that, the third Hebrew temple can fit into prophecy. the prophecy is in Daniel 2. Nope. It's Daniel 9. Daniel 9, 27, and the 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, and 4. And this means that the Antichrist and the Third Temple can just about become a reality. It'll come about very quickly, perhaps. I don't mean to say that it will happen, but it's possible that it can happen quickly. You know the adage, the saying, it goes, things happen slowly until they happen suddenly. Well, that might be what happens here. When a person in the middle of events, when we are in the middle of events, it's difficult to have the perspective and determine if things are happening slowly or suddenly. But whatever the real timing is, we do want to be ready. So, how could you not think of the parable of the 10 virgins? Jesus told this parable in Matthew 25, 1 through 13. One commentary likens those 10 to being bridesmaids, and they are helping the bride to prepare to meet the bridegroom. Well, we know 10 were dedicated to their duty of being like bridesmaids, but only 5 were able to complete their duty and to enter into the wedding feast. The other 5 wanted to enter in, but they were not prepared, and they were not allowed in. Verily, verily, I know you not. That's what the scripture says. And the last verse reads, watch therefore, for you neither know the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. This is a repeated message in the Bible. Be ready. For instance, be ready to give your testimony. Now there's a few who would say the message is also to be ready to meet your Maker. Well, that's not a bad thought, but the point is be ready. Now today, on Christ Today, if I were to have nothing more to say, that would be enough. It's enough to say this. What an amazing things that are going on in Israel. But there's a little more I have to say. Some people see the time approaching when we will not be able to buy or sell without the mark of the beast. Now, I can't say that I agree or I disagree with this, but I can tell you that there are people who see Bitcoin as a part of this condition. And soon enough, there very well may be a Fed coin. And the Fed coin apparently has been developed already, but it's not been implemented. It would be done through the Federal Reserve, and it would be trackable. And yes, it would be watched very carefully, and it would not be as anonymous as Bitcoin. So what'll happen? We'll see. But it is the season for something like that to be developed. In recent years, there has been a financial arena, and there's been a whole lot of volatility that has come about. We've gotten used to volatility, and we don't get to see how serious and significant this volatility really is. And it's not just for the United States, but that's what we mostly look at. Worldwide, there has been lots of things going on. Volatility. In the United States, the indicators are many that there will be troubles. Recently, the Bank of America said that 13 out of the 19 indicators were pointing to a downward market economy, a bear market, they call it. And maybe we could see this economic downtrend in the next month. So indicators include housing, sales, and construction. Store closings are on the rise. And we have every kind of debt, federal, state, corporate, personal. Debt is a large thing which would suddenly cause a crash if the crash were going to start. And you know, I've talked about the gigantic money managers who are preparing for something between a significant decline and a crash. And they include the Rich Dad, Poor Dad author, Robert Kiyosaki. Him and as well as the intellectual and advisor person who's also an author, James Rickards. And then you remember I spoke about Jacob Rothschild a few weeks ago, that he told everybody, get your assets out of the United States because the United States has an unsound monetary policy. So there are indicators pointing to significant things economically happening this year, maybe next year, could be soon, could be longer. But the indicators that people are talking about is it's huge. It's greater than the 1929 depression. That's what they're saying. It could be that bad or worse. Oh, well, we just have to look at this. And I don't say it to scare you, but isn't it good to see, to recognize what some real possibilities are? It could even happen this year. You don't have to believe it's coming. It's just that you can examine some of the what-ifs. What would you do if? And just make a little bit of preparations for the just in case. Some people think that the crash, they see there's a crash coming, but they say not now, that it will be in 5 or 6 years. Well, this is possible too. Weigh the evidence and look and determine for yourself what could be coming and what you want to do about it. Now, I just want to tell you that there's indicators, and these indicators mean that there are possibilities of a pretty big downturn. But look for yourself. Think about it. Make a plan, and then do something about it. It doesn't have to be a great big plan. It can be little. Every step that you take is a step closer to a solution, or at least something that'll help along the way. If you have 5 pounds of flour or beans and rice, 5 pounds of sugar, 5 gallons of water, it's something. Even if it's not ideal, it is something, and you can do something. It's been common in the past for so many people to just go along with the situations that are all around us and to let things happen. You can do that too. Or you can look at what to do and actually do something. It's just an amazing possibility here to think that money could become unavailable. And that's one of the trends going on right now. And it happened just before the Great Depression of the 1930s. The banks were afraid to lend their money out because they were concerned that that money would not be paid back to them. And so what did they do? They held on to their money and wouldn't lend it out. Well, I heard a story about that. And there was a man who bought a car new in 1929, just before the crash. He paid $800 for it. That was the price of cars in those days. But he desperately needed the money. And so what did he do? He put the car in the front yard with a for sale sign on it. $40 is what the sign read. $40 for an $800 car that he'd just bought within the year. And it took him almost a year to sell that car. Well, that's how it was in those days, because everyone was so concerned about what would happen, they just held on to their money. They held on to everything. They were afraid that things would get worse. So I know that there was a diary. It was a good diary. I read it. It was informative. Of the Depression, and it was written by a young attorney, and after that crash of 1929, there was almost no work to do, but he did do a few things to prepare papers that had to be filed and deeds that for property that had to be sold. He did the work, but for a whole 8 months, he did not get even one penny of income. And that's the kind of things that can happen if there is a tightening of money and a depression. No money changes hands. People are concerned and afraid. My mom and my dad went through that Great Depression. They talked about it because I asked questions, and they said, if you had a job, you pretty much did okay. But everyone was scared. No one would spend any money, even if they had it. And I remember my grandparents, how they would save string and rubber bands, small items with no interest and no consequence to me, but they saved it. They were afraid that they were going to have to do without even those small items. So will there be another Great Depression? Well, it's a possibility. Patterns repeat. You know, that's one of the things I do. I look at patterns because I'm a history fellow, and I've seen patterns. Lots of patterns. It's an interesting subject to me. Yes, patterns repeat. And today there are warnings. Can we be too cautious? I don't know. But there's things that are going on. If nothing major happens, we're going to be just fine. But if something major does happen, then people will say, why didn't anybody tell me? Or maybe they'll ask me, why didn't I warn them with more urgency? Well, you can see my message is kind of not one that's the most pleasant message in the world, so I just do what I can and speak in ways that I think people are willing to hear. Because I do see troubles on the horizon. Do I know they're coming? No, I don't know, but it's surely a possibility. So you'll have to figure out on your own what your approach is, how you would personally approach what these potential problems are. I do see that there's both the possibility of a crash or a depression happening. That's based on my study of history. But even more important than the study of history are the warnings in the Bible. Matthew chapter 24, Matthew 24, Mark chapter 13, and Luke chapter 21. They all have a similar warning. There's a lot of things that are just plain going on right there in those couple of chapters. And yeah, it makes me concerned. Do I know the timing? No, I don't know the timing, but I sure can read about earthquakes, famines, and wars. Yes, it's a distressful thing to read about. It's a certain stress to look at. There certainly are blessings that come with the times too. But have a look at this and see where you think we are on this timeline. I don't know that anybody really knows it, but we do get words of something from various Christian people. But you get to figure it out. I know another thing I look at is that Revelation chapter 18. Are we Babylon? Is our nation Babylon? There's people who say that we are, that the United States of America is Babylon, and there's people who say that it is not. Whether it is or is not, don't despair. Because you have to realize the big, big plan. And that is, God put you here, right now. And in the words of Esther 4:14, you are here for a time such as this. We can recognize that God has a perfect will and a perfect timing. And we can appreciate His perfect will and His perfect timing and say, yes, Lord, and thank you for putting me here, right now, for a time such as this. We are able to deal with it because He put us here. So, if this is the case, and it is, we still can look at the going-ons and try to figure out what is going on specifically for this time. And it sure is something to read about that desolation of Babylon. Oh, it's a hard chapter to read. Revelation chapter 18. It's about the riches of, well, it's about a lot, but the thing that I just looked at were the riches of Babylon. And we can recount that there are precious stones, linen, silk, purple, and scarlet, cinnamon and spices, brass, iron, and marble, horses, sheep, and even slaves. Until that day of judgment, there will be weeping and mourning, and in 1 hour, judgment is come. In 1 hour, she, that is Babylon, is made desolate and thrown down. There is smoke and mourning. Well, it's a lot, and it even gets worse than that. But chapter 18 of Revelation, well, it's there. And then there's chapter 19 where it says, after these things, Alleluia, salvation, glory, honor, and power unto the Lord our God, etc. For the marriage of the Lamb is come. Now that's glorious. So there's all sorts of things to examine, and there's many interpretations among Christians. So I hope you read this book and this chapter for yourself. Look at it with plain understanding, and remember to pray before you read it, even pray during, and even pray after, because you want God's guidance to see and to understand. That's what you want. So you remember some of these basic things, the guiding principles, which you hold as Christ followers. I hold them, you hold them. It is about Jesus Christ, and that he is completely and exclusively Jesus. And we know him, we serve him, we love him, we honor Jesus the Christ. And we do not take away from anything he says or the teachings of Jesus Christ, including his finished work upon the cross. And we do this as we go through life without compromise. We live and we recognize that there is this physical element to life and there is a spiritual element of life. There are times when we have trouble integrating the two. That's okay. We manage. We get through it. And I think we probably remember Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. And that means humbly asking in the Spirit and watching with all perseverance and supplication. Perseverance and supplication is asking, is respectful asking for all the saints. So it's not all so hard to do this, but we have to remember our position and God's position. He's in charge and not you. Now, if you put yourself in charge, you are in effect taking the place of God instead of yielding your will to God. And you also realize that, just be careful on how you look at this one. It's a good idea to re-examine the things that we've been taught in society and in schools. All these things need to be re-examined so that you are in a correct position with God through Jesus Christ. Now let me move into another area. How do we prepare to meet whatever the challenges are, the challenges that we will face? On one hand, we don't know what they will be. And on the other hand, we have simple and ordinary concerns in life. and we consider them as we go along. Well, and still we know what things are written. I just talked about them with earthquakes, famines, and war, and then the chapter in Revelation. We know that the patterns repeat. We just don't know the timing. We don't know exactly when anything will happen. But it's written that we want to be prepared, or look for whatever's happening. I get drawn to these chapters, Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. So, and now I'm drawn to Genesis chapter 47, because on chapter 47 it talks about, well, it talks about famine in the land and when money fails. So I think about that happening in these days. Is this a time of famine? Well, it could be. And you know that people need to eat. And at that time, in the days of Egypt, people had to sell everything they owned to Pharaoh through Joseph just for food. The process took a few years, and over and over, the Egyptian people sold what they had, that which is of value, and they said, just let us live, give us food, and let us work for you, become your slaves. And what's our position today? Today, we have given up a whole lot of what we have because we've gotten into debt. Our wealth has been changed into debt. So you look back to that, Genesis 47:15, their money failed. Genesis chapter 47, verse 13, their crops failed. It happened there. There's a lot of people who say it can happen here in the United States. Now, I'm not a prophet to know and to say that this will happen, but I do see the indicators, and I do say that it could happen. So it's something to look at, I say. There's indicators. We see indicators that these things could be happening close at hand. But we surely don't know if it's weeks away or years away. That we don't know. But we can see there's so much borrowing going on, so much debt going on. Yeah. I think about what other people say. Even the people who say they're prophets. It doesn't mean I believe them, but I sure do pay attention. I put it into my memory and I see, wonder what that could mean in the future. So I know in the late 1980s, there were several people who said they were prophets, and they said that God would wait until Billy Graham died to judge America. And you know, he just died. So I sure don't mean to say I know, but like I said, I pay attention to things and I wonder. I see the other indicators and I say, yeah, look out, everybody. Things could be changing in our nation. That's what I found out as a person of history. You can study things. You can see the patterns. I looked at things financially and things through, well, all sorts of history things. And I see what I can. Doesn't mean I know, but I sure see the indicators. Signs and indicators, they continue to increase. And what are the consequences of doing nothing? Well, they can be pretty painful. And that's why I keep talking about this, so that you can see that it would be good to do something. What do you do? Well, everybody has their own ideas. Some can do a lot, and some only can do a little. But think of water, think of food, think of warmth. Those are the basics. And then you have to figure out everything else in quantity or what else you might want to have for the just in case. Doesn't mean you go all out and say, I'm going to do all these things, but you keep it in mind when you're shopping. You keep in mind what you have to do and to get and to buy, And when the opportunity comes up, maybe you'll see something on a sale. Maybe you'll see something who knows where. But it's at a good price, and you just think, okay, I can get this. Think about significant events happening in the near future. It's not that they will, it's not that they won't, but there's plenty of people who are predicting a war is just short-term away, very short-term. Our society has lots of discord in it, and that's something that reduces the stability in the society. There's a lot of things going on from the very top of our authority structure, call it government, or all sorts of things. We see things, we see reports, deceptive reports even. We see lies. There's lies at every level of our government, and it's really hard to believe that people are actually lying, but they are. And most of what they say is true, but the lies are just, they become evident later on. Lies do happen. And sometimes they even come from the most esteemed people and the highest branches of government. When this happens, we just have to look at what we need to do to protect our own understanding, our own interests. And don't forget, most people are decent people. Most people are honest, and they have all the authorities. They're mostly good and decent people. But I can only say, be careful. Look carefully and be careful about the things which impact your life, and you will want to think for yourself and reach your own conclusions. Use critical thinking and critical judgment. Protect yourself, and that means in a physical way, and certainly in a spiritual way. You know, there's all sorts of things that happen spiritually. There's spiritual entities, even evil entities. Well, we know there's fallen angels, there's Lucifer or Satan, there's his cohorts. Yes, what do? You resist the devil, and he will flee. Don't forget that one. But also, draw close to your protector, the only true power source in the universe, and that is God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Draw close to him. God is the true light. He is true love. He is truly holy and righteous. And that's what we want to draw near to. Now, we can think of our small efforts at preparing, whether it be food or air or water, medical warmth. Well, all these things are good, but there's certainly no comparison with what God supplies us with. Look at the clean air he supplies us with. Look at the water, clean water. Now, maybe we've dirtied these things. Yeah, we have, but the point is God's ways are so different from our ways, and the things that he supplies us with, always give him thanks for them. Air, water, sunlight, all these things. A sound body, yes, and then try to maintain things in good order and good health. Yes, God provides it for us, but we still participate in it. We do something. I think of J. Vernon McGee. He once said on the radio, "We pray for rain, but we say amen with a hoe in our hand." You could say that we are already participating in what he provides. And that's true, we are. But we want to do it in a wholesome and holy way, just as best as we know how. So I think it's a good time for us to remember to work as we can with other people. Sometimes it's we work as a couple. Sometimes it's working with a partner or a group or a church or a community. There's lots of different ways that we can see things. Lots of people that we can be working together with. And we all have different ideas. I mean, look at men and women. Have you noticed we have different ideas? Ha! We do. We look at what cleanliness means to each one of us. We looked at how to protect our families differently. We look at how we view our community differently. Men and women, we just have a different point of view, and that is good because we have different ideas on what supplies are needed, what medical things are needed. We have different points of view, and to examine things together, to decide things together, it's good. Look at the what-ifs and see if you can reach agreements. Try to have a simple point of view or a complex point of view. That's good, too. But I think you start with the simple. I know there's lots of people have different points of view. Take advantage of different points of view. Widen your own perspective. It might relate to food. It might be relating to tools. Or we might have some complex things to work out, like trading or a money system. Or do we need to make electricity in the future? Well, there's just all sorts of things. What about metal items? Is that something we need to work at? Do we need to build a building? Everybody will have different abilities and be able to look at problems and solve them in good but different ways. Lots of questions. And we just see things differently. Everyone does. So take advantage of it. That's what makes a person. People are different. Their hearts are different. Their life experience are different. So there's lots of things that are right in front of us. Appreciate the differences. Ask questions. And remember to look at the fundamentals of what a relationship is. What is a relationship with God, with other people? All these things are of interest. And remember, all along the experience, you show love and compassion. That's just plain human. And that's what we do. We show love and compassion, just like God shows us. And we are to show Him love, and we are to show our other people around us love and compassion. And of course, that includes our neighbor, and that's written in that great big book, the Bible. Yeah. So, back to the other point, it's about Jesus. Jesus, will He return soon? Well, there are indications that He will. We have some difficult times to go through in the meanwhile. That's how it looks. And just maybe we Christians are going to go through a time when we are not going to be able to buy or sell. Well, maybe it's true. If it's true, just think what it means to not be able to buy or sell. If that's the case, what do? Of course, we think about it, but really what we do is we pray first. We ask for God's guidance. We ask for God's direction. We ask for what we should do sensibly. And like I say, we prepare for that just-in-case situations. Now, that will be different for everyone. Everyone has a different idea of what will occur, could occur, and what to prepare for. That's the advantage of having a number of people who have different ideas. It's good. Men and women are different, and they're good. Neighbors are different, and they're good. A community is different, and they're good. Examine these things and determine what are your own choices. What should you get? How should you spend that money you have? Money is valuable. It's something we have to recognize. We want to make the best use of it. So you have to look at what your choices are and figure out how to make your money be spent in the best way for whatever you think those preparations ought to be. I know there's ways to look at this. We can look at it with our feelings. We can look at it with our intellect. We can examine and we can examine. But we still don't know what'll happen. We have to look and see what the possibilities are. What changes could it bring in your life? There's lots of things to consider. There's lots of just-in-case possibilities. And it's an exercise. Get some help at it and make sure that you are right on have your thinking right for as you and somebody else deal with it, probably somebody close, even intimate with you. So, look for a moment at what hard times mean. Look for a moment at what a natural disaster would mean. What happens? What are the possibilities? What would happen if there was a collapse? Now, I think that's interesting because I've heard the stories of people. There have been plenty of people from other countries, and they talk about their experience of going through a huge collapse and what it's like. They talk about shortages and scarcities of everything, including water, food, and medical. They talk about the electricity not being regular or dependable. They talk about purchases, whatever you want, it's not available, and you have to go through a non-standard means of acquiring it. Kind of this means like a street fair. That's where items are bought and sold. And because the electricity is not dependable, your purchases cannot be made with the normal manner of things. You can't use your credit card. There won't be any credit card purchases if that happens. The phone service might be interrupted. What other situations happen in that very difficult situation is people go on crime sprees, they riot, they loot. And usually these crimes are done by the underclass. But as time goes on, it is sometimes done by the authorities. It's just something to be aware of. I'm not saying it'll happen, but it happened in several other countries. So barter is what becomes widespread. That's how people do their work. And if we do have some kind of a collapse, it's not like all of a sudden money is gone and there's barter, because people need a few months or at least weeks to readjust to the situation. They have to have a grasp of what value is, and so money is still used at the initial time frame because that's what everybody knows before the barter becomes widespread. Things happen when people get into a collapsed situation. They lose their interest to live, some of them do, and some of them don't, but they realize that government cannot help. Government won't save you, that they have to rely on themselves and relationships that they have, including the Christian church. So what else these people say that have gone through these collapses is that you need mental fortitude. You need to know that only you can take care of yourself and your family. You need to think in advance about what coping skills you can use to calm yourself in a time of crises. You need to realize that worry and concern and even fear are normal, and it's okay to feel these things. It's just that you can't live in that area of thought. And you have to remember, again I'll say it, that the leaders and authorities are not going to be able to help you. It's going to be up to you and the people around you. So that's what these lessons in the collapse show. It's good to have some idea. I bring these ideas to you for your own examination, to look at that just in case, because if you look in advance, you're better off. Now, I do think about people who have ideas, and there are people in this country who have ideas also, and they talk about having your lists of preparedness items. They're quite different in this country. Yeah, they are. Let's see. People say, get out of debt. Have a supply of cash. Have silver. have gold coins, have a gas mask, have your and I mean, that just reflects the wealth that is in this nation, that is the way that people think about. But to continue, the lists in this country include water purification, water and food, a Swiss Army knife, a belt knife, axe and shovel, knife sharpener, compass and maps, a large backpack, matches and lighters, a flashlight and extra batteries, vitamins, seeds and hand tools, a radio, a first aid kit and personal hygiene, including a sewing kit, and if you have a baby, baby needs, or children's needs, or pet needs. And last on their thinking is gasoline. So you can kind of see the difference between how people think who have been through a collapse and how people think in this country. Like I said, these are all just a bunch of ideas, and you get to reflect on how these needs relate to you. You give it an examination and consider these ideas. So look at both of these lists and figure what you want. I know one of the things that I am reluctant to bring up is the self-defense needs. That's something that's a completely personal decision. And I think that anybody who hears this is already inclined to go one way or the other of needing it or not needing it. So I would just as soon not mention it, but it is something that probably everybody has a thought about, including these people in this country and other countries who prepare. So I want to present these ideas to you so you can examine them and evaluate them. I hope you remember that water and food is the main requirement, and everything else, I think, is at your discretion. Have some ideas, and look at ideas, even ones that you think don't apply to you, because all these things can be a benefit, even because they make you think of something else. It's not that you have to follow any of the lists, it's just ideas. See if one thing sparks another idea. And, of course, don't neglect your spiritual relationship with God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. It must be at the center of your preparedness. But I realize that these lists are just ideas. They're things that need to be mentioned. And, oh, yeah, and don't forget some other things, like you might think of your toilet facilities. That is significant. After all, if you're going to eat, you're going to need toilet facilities. Consider what would happen if there was a breakdown in your utility services. These things are possible. They happen in normal life anyway. What if water was not delivered to your home? If the pipes were broken in the street? Well, it would be pretty hard to get enough water to flush your toilet and take a shower. So just think about it. Realize that these things can happen here. Not just other countries, because they do happen in other countries. But you will want to just give these things thought and have considerations, have preparations. You decide what to do. You might need to dig a hole. And if you do, a post-hole digger is pretty good to do. Use a small hole at the top and a big hole at the bottom. The post-hole digger works really good for this. And you won't put dirt in it, only poop and toilet paper. And if you want, you can cover it with plywood or boards. Yeah, so, lastly, I should say one other thing. Remember that you need a backup plan, because surprises happen. Just things come along. Remember that it's better to have some ideas for the just-in-case surprises that do happen before they confront you. So give these things thought, and remember God through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. The Bible is a good book to have, and you can also have a hymnal with you. Those are very good. Keep in mind all these things. Songs and hymns and praises lift up your spirits, your heart, up unto God, and to reminds you to give thanks and praise. I'm always happy to go from topic to topic, and sometimes I do, like today. But I hope these ideas I present will inspire you, that they'll help you, especially for the spiritual part. You can't neglect this. I welcome your contact with me. Please request my free preparedness pamphlet. Just send me, if you would, a self-addressed stamped envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And remember, you might want to hear a broadcast again. And if you do, go to www.christtoday.org. And that's all lowercase with no spaces. And thank you for listening today. May you walk with God, and may God walk with you.
Create in me a new heart. Make it strong, pure, and clean, that I might see through eyes of understanding, that I might be what you've called me to be. As I touch the hem of your garment, I feel the fragrance of your glory. You are faithful to me. You set the captive free. And when the winds of life are blowing, let my eyes be on you, for your steadfast love will see me through. And when the winds of life are blowing, let my eyes be on you, for your steadfast love will see me through. Yes, it's your steadfast love that will see me through.